Welcome to the AP Now podcast, the podcast that covers trends, insights, and emerging issues impacting every accounts payable function. Your host, Mary Schaefer, is the founder of AP Now, a B2B digital information and learning company focused on all issues related to AP. Stay tuned as Mary and her guests discuss the business intelligence you need to ensure a cost-effective, technologically efficient, fraud-resistant, regulatory-compliant accounts payable function. Without further ado, let's dive right in.
Welcome to episode 25 of the AP Now podcast. I'm Mary Schaefer, your host for this AP Now podcast, and I have with me a good friend of mine, Robin Anderson, who's going to talk to us today about career advancement and share some of her life stories with us and about how she's advanced her career. Today's show is brought to you by Stamply, a leader in AI-powered invoice automation. Welcome, Robin. It's a pleasure to have you. You know, we've known each other for a long time. I always have a great time when we go out together. We always end up laughing a lot. But, you know, today we won't even have a glass of wine. So, I don't know. We'll have to see.
We'll have to think about that virtually.
Yeah, how to have a virtual glass of wine.
Right.
All right. So perhaps you could tell us a little bit about yourself. We ran into each other professionally. You're now with Texas Capital Bank. You're a senior vice president there. But this hasn't been an easy path for you.
No, it hasn't. I started off at Reynolds Metals Company and worked there for 21 and a half years. And by going to school to get my MBA, I ended up doing a research project, which propelled me into the commercial card industry. So I've since worked for large companies like JP Morgan Chase, American Express, and others, and now most recently with Texas Capital Bank.
Okay. They recruited you, didn't they?
They did.
Okay. So they knew a good thing when they saw it, I'm sure. So you have written a book, Here, Hold My Wine. I call it a motivational book, but I think it also has a lot of career advice. So I know you filled it with all your personal stories. Could you tell us a little bit about what motivated you to write this book?
Absolutely. I started writing. I'm an accidental writer, actually. I'm a consultant by trade, but I started writing for Women's Voices magazine, and we were picked up. I was one of the top 20 columnists, which surprised me, and now write directly for Biz Catalyst 360, and my work is in 147 countries. So when I started thinking about this book is when I was presenting to a local university to graduating adult students about how now to take your education and put it into your career. And after I did several of these, I had people come up to me and said, you really need to write a book. And even the CEO of the Women's Voices magazine said the exact same thing. So I thought, well, I'll write a book. So that's kind of how it started. And I ended up talking to people that were single mothers that just bought a house and were losing their job. What do I do? People that had business ideas. How do I put a business plan together? So I started helping people and motivating them to be able to reach the goals that they intended.
Okay, so can you tell us a little bit about your process? How did you pick the stories that you included, and how did you decide what to leave out?
Well, I have a lot of stories, and I work very closely with my publisher, which is Kiwi Publishing, Kim, and she helped me pick some of the ones that she thought that were most interesting. And a lot of them were things that when I was coming up through my early years in business, I was just a clerk. And I saw a lot of opportunity of things of how we can make things better. Most people will see that they can make things better, but never do anything about it. What I did was I got very bored very quickly. I was doing a three-way matching process with invoices, receipts, and receivers, and paying them. After a while, I said to my boss, is there a way that I can do something more? You know, I see other things that I can do. And I worked with my boss and he allowed me to do certain things.
Okay. So you were pretty lucky. You had a very understanding boss.
Absolutely. And I think it's because he liked me, because he would walk in the door and I'd have a smile on my face. Most people don't realize that how you present yourself can mean everything different in business.
Yeah, yes, it can. Okay, let's take a brief word from our sponsor, and when we come back, we'll talk with Robin about how she applies her theories to the successes that she's had in the business world. But before that, real quickly, accounts payable professionals know invoices are easy to lose, and it takes time to track down approvers while also having to code, log, cross-reference, verify, reconcile, and cut checks, all while staying compliant. Stamply simplifies all that. When invoices enter the system, Stamply's AI, called Billy the Bot, immediately gets to work by proposing GL codes, approvers, and flagging issues like PO mismatches and potential duplicates. AP simply confirms the information is correct and submits the invoice for approval. Now, here's the best part. Stamply fixes the disconnected communications between approvers, accounts payable, and vendors. With Stamply, conversations are centered around each invoice, and anyone can be invited to the conversation, getting to an approval decision up to 5 times faster. Visit stamply.com/APnow. See for yourself how your team can work smarter, not harder. That's stamply.com/APnow. All right, Robin, I think that's kind of interesting that you started out processing invoices, if you will. So, you know, you're a senior vice president at a bank now. You were recruited by them recently. You've got a lot of education. I guess you're pretty smart, and I guess people think that that's the reason for your success.
Well, I have to say that's not true. I was a B-minus kind of girl. I think I was more into partying and having fun being a cheerleader back when I was in school than I was interested in necessary learning. But I think what I am is I have more of a keen sense of business when I sat down and started really looking at the processes of how things were being done at a very early age. I started thinking, how can things be done better? So I sort of proved that you don't have to be a scholar by any means. You just need to have some common sense in business, right?
Okay. Yep. Yep. I think sometimes that's more important. So we were talking before, and you were telling me some interesting things about vacations. Now, I know most people don't think about vacations as a means for getting ahead, but you found kind of a unique twist.
I did. I think we've all been on vacation before, and you come back and you're like, oh my gosh, why did I even bother going on vacation? I've got so much here to catch up on. I will be working day and night. And so I went to my boss and said, hey, Susan is getting ready to go on vacation. Can I sit down with her, learn what she does, and then keep up with her work and my work while she's on vacation? And he kind of looked at me and he says, well, okay. So I did that. It became so popular with him that when I asked when the next person went on vacation, if I could also learn that person's job, I ended up learning everybody's job in the department. Now, of course, remember, some of those people probably were not very happy with me for doing that, but I had the ambition to do that. When bosses see that you've got ambition, they see a spark in your eye, that's what's going to propel your career, as it did mine.
And I think the other interesting thing about that whole particular encounter, if you will, is it was you going to your boss with the idea rather than your boss saying, hey, I want you to do Susan's job while she's on vacation.
Absolutely. I think if you show the ambition to do it rather than somebody having to come to you, it's almost forced feel when somebody comes to you or the boss says, hey, will you do this for me? I wanted to take the bull by the horn, so to speak, and I wanted to do it myself because I did get bored very quickly. And I've heard so many people talk about, oh, I do my job day in, day out. I'm so sick of it. Well, do something about it. Do something different. Learn something new. Learn the things that happen before they come into your department and what happens on the way out, and really learn the whole process.
And I think now is a critical time for definitely the folks in accounts payable and also many other accounting functions, because we have all this new technology coming at us. And I honestly do think that the winners are going to be the people who understand the technology, not necessarily the people who can code it, but the people who can take the applications and work with the programmers.
Absolutely. I worked very closely with the programmers, and believe me, I'm not a technical person, but I learned enough of their language and the ideas behind it that I pretty much can hold my own now with technical people, and they never know I don't understand everything.
And they probably don't try and snow you.
Nope, they sure don't.
Okay. So you had another point that I thought was very interesting. I call it the probing question. You said, what can I do to make things better?
Yeah, this was when I was in the expense report department, and that's the department where our sales team was traveling, selling our wares. And a lot of the people that were doing this were engineers as well. Engineers are supposed to be very good with math, but when they did their expense reports, they came back and they were just horrible. And they would take so much time for our department to process, and they would be calling wanting to know where their reimbursement was. So I went in, once again, asked my boss if I could go to some of our plant locations and actually talk to them about this process and how they could make it better. And when I did that, it was so well received, and it saved so much time in our department that I ended up getting a promotion.
Ah. Okay. And expense reports are never anybody's favorite part of their job, or at least very few people.
Yeah, I actually had one guy tell me that it wasn't his fault. It was his secretary's fault because she did the expense report wrong. And I clearly made it very clear to him that if he looked at where he signed, it said that he was the one responsible for it. After that, he didn't question me anymore.
I guess you were making more. You were making friends all over the place, weren't you?
Oh, yeah. I was called you people more than once.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. So you clearly have figured out how to get ahead. And looking into your crystal ball, if you can, what suggestions do you have for professionals in accounting, accounts payable, audit, expense reporting, for them to help them get ahead the way you did?
I think the main thing is really don't ever stop learning. I have always taken the opportunity to sit down with somebody in a certain area that I have interest in that I've never known anything about, the marketing people or even the HR people. I usually take the grumpy person that kind of makes my life miserable and sit down with them and find out what's going on with them, make them feel important. Then they'll start teaching me. So I've learned in business a lot of things, not just the work that I do, but if you understand your entire business and you can see those people in the hallway and you can talk to them and really understand what they're doing, how it affects you, and potentially how you can make things better. We all have to do what we can to make our businesses successful, mm-hmm. because if we don't, if we take it for granted, one day the bell curve will go down and we may be looking for a job. So I personally try everything I can for whatever company I'm working for to make things better.
Okay. So lifelong learning, we're on the same page there. And look for the grumpy person?
Yes, the grumpy person. I'm the one that will go find the grumpiest person at the Costco line.
Yeah.
And will tell them that I heard that they're the most fantastic person. And they'll look at me, and before you know it, we're laughing, we're high-fiving, and my son's going, Mom, please don't do this anymore. But it's my goal in life to turn people around. Most people that are grumpy and seem to be unhappy really have some things going on in their personal life. So I think the reason why I've written this book is it's my way of giving back, and I think people, we all have control of our own destiny. And we need to do that.
Okay, that's great. So can we just talk a little bit more about the book before we get off here? You know, I've started the book. I haven't finished it. Enjoying it. I noticed at the end of each chapter you have, what do you call them, a motivation tip?
Here, hold my wine moment.
Yeah.
And it more or less summarizes, it's the book has got a lot of different short stories. They're real life stories of things that have happened to me, how when I had certain circumstances that happened, how I turned it around. I originally was going to call the book The Thought Process because I truly believe it's the way we think about things and how we do things that we can get over that brick wall. So the reason why on the book it's a spilt glass of wine with salmon going upstream is to show determination. So I want people to know that no matter what brick wall that you run into in business or personal or otherwise, that there is a way to not cower and go around that wall. You just need to get your thought process correct.
So can you give us one, maybe your favorite or just anyway, one of the tips before we close off?
Yeah, I think one of the tips is people have a tendency to want to put you down. I had many people want to keep me down in the trenches where they thought I should be. And I made up my mind that I was not going to do that. I will do what I need to do to push up through the top, do the best I can. And suddenly I was presenting to CEOs and CFOs and treasury people and them thanking me for my thought process and for trying to make their business better. So I think you need to stop with the naysayers and you need to feel positive about what you're doing and continue to move forward.
Well, you certainly are positive. As I said at the beginning, we always have a good time when we go out together. We need to do that again soon because I need a good laugh. We always laugh a lot. And for the rest of you, you can find Robin's book on Amazon. There's a Kindle version. It's on barnesandnoble.com. And as we speak, it's being recorded, so there'll be an audio version if you like to listen to books on tape. Robin, thank you for coming. I hope that you'll come back and be on a future episode with us.
Yes, and here, hold my wine, Mary.
Oh, yes, I am holding it up. I'll actually tell you a funny story since you mentioned wine. The picture that I'm now using as my professional picture, I shouldn't share this, is actually one my husband took of me. I had a glass of wine and I was toasting him. We kind of X'd out the glass of wine.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, I don't X out my glass of wine. I think it's important. So enjoy a glass of wine while you read the book.
Okay. Yeah. So we'd like to thank our sponsor, Stamply, a leader in AI-powered invoice automation. If you like this podcast, please take a moment to rate this episode, review this episode, subscribe to the series, or even better, share it with your community on LinkedIn, Facebook, or your staff. To be alerted to new episodes, please visit www.ap-now.com and sign up for a free twice-a-week e-zine. It contains tips and news of upcoming AP Now webinars, article postings, and, of course, future episodes of the podcast. Thanks for joining us. I hope to visit with you again soon on another AP Now podcast. Mm-hmm.